Hey, welcome to What Are You Hungry For? The podcast about food, of course, but also connections, curiosity, discovery, and more. I'm your host, Nancy Martz, Executive Director of Apples to Zucchini Cooking School, where our mission is to bring people together over shared meals by teaching children, teens, and adults how to prepare delicious, nutritious, affordable meals made from local and seasonal ingredients. Today, I am joined by Jill Barton, Apples to Zucchini Cooking School's Senior Culinary Educator. Jill has been working in kitchens for as long as she can remember. She often starts sentences with, "When I worked on a boat," and "When I had my crepe shop." It seems she has lived several lifetimes, and yet she looks like she's about 25. She's not, but she looks it. We are also joined today by the wind, so if you hear any rattling in the background, don't be alarmed. We are safe and sound. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Hi, Nancy.
So tell me a little bit more about your mysterious culinary background.
Well, it's not mysterious. I feel like we've talked about it many times.
But I'm always hearing something new, like, you did what? You did where?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of working in a restaurant or in a kitchen. You can work about anywhere in the world. So I've worked on local boats. I've worked on yachts. I worked for a professional sports team in the U.S.
Who was that? See, this is a new one. Here's a mystery.
It was in San Francisco. It was a basketball team.
Wow.
And I had a little crepe shop, like you mentioned, in Santa Barbara for a couple of years. And, you know, I've worked in restaurants and almost 2 years with you now.
And you make chocolate?
I did not make chocolate. My aunt makes chocolate. So I was helping her at the front of her store.
Awesome. Wow. So you recently, in your position with Apples to Zucchini Cooking School, you recently have started helping us develop our semester-long curriculum. And this involves creating a calendar of recipes for kids as young as 5 and as old as 18. What is your thought process for constructing this program rather than just a recipe here and one menu there? Like really putting together weeks and weeks. What's your thought process in putting that together for our students?
Well, I think that it starts mostly with different ideas of recipes and putting them down on the board like you and I did, and putting them in an order that makes sense for multiple reasons. You want to have easy skills, start with easy skills, you know, introducing kids for the first time to knives sometimes. And other than that, you want to bring in some terms and some organization so that it's not absolute chaos when you have 12 6-year-old kids with knives, you know?
Right. That can become chaotic really quickly.
It's a lot. So I think that by starting simple and then making your way through a bunch of different types of cuisine and techniques, it helps the kids, you know, feel more acquainted with everything that we do. And then of course, starting with things that we know they're going to like, you know, and building a trust with the kids so that we don't start with the chickpea curry that we made last week because they feel like it's a bit much. But now on week 8, every kid loves it because they know that we're not going to feed them something they're not going to like.
So what kind of recipe do you think, Bill, is this kind of trust building recipe for the kids?
I think it has to be with ingredients that they recognize, with ingredients that can be separated. So not something that's in one pot.
Like my food doesn't touch kind of thing?
To start, yes, probably. We've started with hummus and vegetables. So we can easily have them each cut one carrot or one bell pepper. And then we make the hummus all together. And then if they want to try the hummus, they can dip their carrot in it. And if they don't like the hummus, they try it. They don't like it. Well, they have cucumbers and carrots and sometimes a piece of mango, you know, and, showing them that we're there to have fun also with the food.
Yeah. We definitely like to have fun with the food, don't we? What recipes do you feel like have been the biggest hits? And I, you tend to know this because you're in the kitchen when the educators come back and you're also looking at the compost buckets that come back and see what kind of leftovers did we have this week? So what recipes, do you find to be our biggest hits?
Okay. I feel like we've had really good ones. The one we just did with the latkes and applesauce was an extremely big hit. The kids loved it. And they thought it was really amusing to make applesauce. They had, it had never crossed their mind that they could make applesauce from apples.
Right. It's like chicken fingers coming from chicken.
Yeah. Like what?
Yeah. Well, and I happened to be in the kitchen the day that you were recipe testing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's just, it's crispy and it's salty and it's hot. I mean, like the
tangy
it's
and sweet.
Perfect. Yeah.
And they can eat it with their hands if they want, which is, you know,
right.
Stuff that we usually try not to make them do, but, they love the sweet and spicy sugar snap peas. Mm-hmm. We didn't do that this semester, but we usually have it last semester. We did it last semester. The pad thai is a really big sell as well.
Well, and I think that the pad thai to me, sort of bridges that familiar. Well, I've seen noodles before, but I haven't quite seen this. And so really helping them bridge that divide of showing them something familiar. And yet we're going to mix it up a little bit.
And I feel like we, by the time we approached that one, in the semester, we've used a lot of those ingredients for different things. Mm-hmm. And we're just, you know, we're saying, remember we use this for this recipe, and the rice noodles are the same thing as the rice paper when we did spring rolls, and that helps a lot too.
Yeah. One of the lessons that you did this semester that I was really excited about was the table setting. Mm-hmm. And our listeners may hear from your voice that you've got a little bit of an accent. And people who've listened to this in the past will know that I've got an Austrian background. So for you and me, it was really bringing in this European sensibility for how we use our knife and fork. Tell me a little bit more about that lesson, what feedback you got from the instructors, and just kind of, is that something that we want to keep doing at A to Z?
Right. Well, I definitely think that we should keep doing that at A to Z. I think it's an extremely important thing to be able to do, to have, to learn how to sit at a table properly and how to set a table, you know, for like life. I mean, when you go to an interview, when you have dinner with your boss or anything like that, if you're not, you know, not holding yourself properly, or you're eating before everybody else while your boss is not eating yet, it's just, it doesn't look good, you know? And if you're a pretty girl going on a date, same thing.
Right.
So I think that a lot of our instructors liked it. I had really good feedback mostly from the little kids. Uh-huh. So that would be first to third graders, because I think at that point, they've never been approached with something like that. So it's kind of fun. And they were folding napkins into different shapes, and
right, you had them making roses that looked amazing.
Yeah, but they were so easy to make, you know, and that's something they can remember and they can go home. And we did that the week before Valentine's. So, you know, maybe they went home and for Valentine's on breakfast, they made little roses for their parents, or we try to make it fun, you know, and, I just think it's something that's going to carry on, hopefully, for the rest of their life.
Right. No. That's the goal. Well, and that's part of the reason that we have the repetition and do this over and over and over for 8 to 12 weeks. Like you just can't, you can't learn everything in one 90-minute class.
No.
So you work a lot with our culinary educators. Mm-hmm. What do you value most about the A to Z team?
Oh my God. A lot. I like that we have such an array of people. We have professional chefs, we have former educators, we have people that are retired, we have some young blood. We have Carly, who I got to work with last night, and she's just so excited about everything. And she's very, I call her a greenie. She's very green in the kitchen, but she's so motivated to learn and to teach, that it's just a great environment to be in. You know, it's, everybody seems to be very positive. It's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important. What is your biggest pet peeve about food culture in America? You can only pick one right now.
Oh my God. Okay.
Or you can make a quick list either way.
Eating while you're walking, eating in bed, watching TV while eating, not eating seasonally, going to Costco.
Now, I believe in France. Now, okay, you're from Switzerland.
Yeah, but I'm very familiar with France.
I remember Globus.
Yes.
Like there is there is a sort of a Costco. There isn't one in every town mm-hmm. for sure. So yeah, maybe it's,
we have Globus in Switzerland, actually.
Yeah.
No, I agree, but, I think that, no,
I mean, I know people here in town where Costco is their grocery store.
Yes.
That's where they're going every week. That's their grocery store.
Yeah. And Costco is not the worst of all the supermarkets that we have, of course, you know, but what I mean by that is that going to a store and buying a giant pack, mass produce of anything, you know, like mass produce meat or a pallet of plastic bottles of water or stuff like that, you know, that I find very wasteful and really bad for the environment. So I'm not too keen on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and the knife skills, right? The table manners leave something to
definitely
leave something to be desired.
Yes, but since we just talked about that, I mean, I figured I had made my point on that one.
Yeah, I definitely think the eating while walking is it's such a mystery to me.
Yeah.
Although to be fair, in Paris, you can get a crepe and walk down the street. I mean, you can, you know, but maybe that's geared towards the tourists too, because that's near the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. I mean, usually you'll find them more in touristy places, but it's true. I mean, there's, in Switzerland, Geneva, we have, in the winter, we have chestnuts.
Of course. Well,
you know, and then, you know,
but
so there's things.
That's the Christmas market, but you're right. Yeah. No, they're, yeah. That isn't a uniquely American thing.
But okay, so before I came here, I had never seen people walk around with a coffee.
Right, that is
you know, it's only since Starbucks showed up that people do that.
Yeah.
But before that, you went and sat down and had your cafe and then went back to work and then took another cafe break, you know, later on.
Well, and I love it in Italy. It's at an espresso bar. Mm-hmm. And I met an American who was interning in Italy, and her coworker would, you know, like at 9:30 in the morning would go to the bar, and then like at 11 would go to the bar. And this American girl is thinking, holy crap, my coworker has a drinking problem, and didn't realize that she was just going downstairs across the street mm-hmm. to the espresso bar, knocking back an espresso, coming back and working a little bit more. But yeah, she wasn't going and getting a venti or a something and bringing it back. So it is definitely a different relationship that we have with how we're consuming food and what our relationship to food is.
Yeah.
Not always for the best. So the big question of this podcast, the title of it is, what are you hungry for? And that can be, a metaphor for something sort of more cerebral, or it can be like actual, like, is there a food that you're craving? You know, so right now in this moment of your life, what are you hungry for?
That's a really good question because, as of right now, in the past few months, I am, for the first time in my life, perfectly happy.
Wow. I just have to pause for a minute and sit with that, because that's amazing.
It's a wonderful feeling, and it's not just happy because of someone else or something else. It's really just happy with where I am and happy with me, I guess, you know, so, I guess I'm hungry for more of it at this point, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some days I come in here and I feel like, to stay with the, what are you hungry for? You know, it's sort of drinking from a fire hose, but sort of like you've got this giant plate in front of you and you're just like, there's so much, you know, cause we've got spring break camp and summer camp and spring classes and food is medicine. And we've got so much going on. And yet you just always have this equanimity of like, yeah, no, that's okay. That thing is tomorrow. That thing is next week. That conversation, we're putting that on the calendar in 2 weeks. Just, I'm going to do what I need to do right now. And you just, even though you are sort of drinking from a fire hose, you never act like it. You're always nice and just sort of level-headed, and it's a delight.
It's nice to hear. Thank you.
Well, I think it's so much fun. Well, and it's nice to have that. So yeah. I feel like, we've reached this great spot. I wouldn't call it a plateau at A to Z because that to me sort of says we're going to sit here, but it's sort of like when you're on a hike, And there's a moment where you can just, maybe there's a bench there and you can sit for a second, but you, there's still so much more above
you. Oh yeah. Oh, there's so much more.
And that's what I feel like we're climbing, but we can take these moments and go, all right, okay, we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
So it's a really exciting place to be. Okay. So the lightning round, you can take as long as you want to answer these questions, but, or you can answer them very quickly. Sweet or savory, which do you prefer?
Now savory. As a kid, sweet, obviously.
Yeah. Cake or pie?
Tart.
Tart. Yes. And what type of tart?
Any tart my mom makes. Oh. Yeah. She's I don't want to call her a tart queen because that's not very nice, but she makes.
But she's the queen of the tarts.
She's the queen of the tarts. She really makes an amazing.
And are they like more fruit forward or chocolate?
So no, they're usually fruit forward. So yeah. She's really good at making a crust, and then she'll usually layer with almond milk, and then it's either apples, apricot. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Of course, amazing.
Plums, stuff like that.
And say some of those in French. What are some of these tarts?
Tarte aux pommes, tarte aux abricots, tarte aux pêches, tarte aux pruneaux.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Okay. Yeah, we have something similar in Austria. It's less of a tart and more of a cake. It's almost like a sweet focaccia with the like plums layered in there.
Yeah.
But the tarts that are like very fruit forward, I love that. Sandwich or burrito?
I guess burrito. Yeah, burrito.
Which we will be featuring, I'm sure, in our Wrap Around the World summer camp.
Yes, we're definitely making burritos.
Yeah. Do you follow a recipe or do you wing it?
Most of the time I wing it. I'll read a recipe and get inspired by it and then just do my own.
Yeah. Mashed potatoes or French fries?
Baked potato with sour cream.
Really? Mm-mm. Now, to me, that sounds super American.
It is. It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not something that you would find on a Swiss
menu. No. Okay. So if we're talking that, then mashed potato with celery root in it.
Ah.
That's really good. My grandma used to make that.
Okay. Yeah. When I was a kid, I liked mashed potatoes. I said I didn't like baked potatoes. I don't know why.
Because you were a kid.
Because I was a kid and I was, a contrarian. And I remember one time my grandmother was making us like just weeknight dinner, and my brother had his baked potato and I had what looked to me like a perfectly fine pile of mashed potatoes, ate it, loved it, was super happy, even said, oh my gosh, these are the best mashed potatoes I've ever had. And my grandmother, she was not the kind of person who would trick a kid into eating. So once she heard me say that, she sat down and said, okay, so I have a confession to make. This was actually, I was in a hurry and I couldn't make every single thing. So I made baked potato and I scooped it out and I mashed it with some butter and salt. Is that okay? Like, do you forgive me? And I was like, if this is baked potato, this is amazing. This is what I'll have from now on. And she was like, oh, thank God. So yeah, I just love potatoes in any way.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very American question. Turkey or stuffing?
Neither.
And that is a very Swiss answer. Yeah. I'm a stuffing person, but I don't need it either. I don't really eat Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. I think you're one of the perfect people to ask this because you've been here for a long time and you're such a foodie. Your favorite Santa Barbara restaurant of all time?
Oh, man. Can it be Santa Barbara County?
Sure.
Okay. I have two and I cannot put them.
Okay.
And they're current right now. And I still think they're the top. I think that, Bell's in Los Alamos and Sushi by Scratch in Montecito are just absolutely fantastic.
The best. Well, yeah. The fact that they're both here and you can go to both of them. Lucky.
Yes.
That's awesome. essential kitchen tool or gadget?
I mean, a knife?
Well, yeah, beyond that. I mean, everybody has to have a knife. And a cutting mat to cut on.
Okay, so like something completely different? My teapot?
There you go. Well, and also I think that the classically trained chefs don't really need gadgets.
Yeah, don't
like
ever.
You can do everything with a knife.
Yeah, like, don't buy anything that's a single use right. thing. Like that's
except
not,
a zoodler.
Yes, zoodler is fine. Or like, you know what? Okay, wait, I take it back. A salad spinner.
Right. Yeah, right.
They're great.
Yeah, that's essential. Exactly. And what is your favorite pizza topping?
Just super simple. I want just buffalo de mozzarella. Mozzarella de buffalo.
Mozzarella di bufala.
Just very simple, little basil.
And a tomato sauce.
Yeah, yeah. So like a thin crust, tomato sauce, basil, and fresh buffalo mozzarella is just as simple as that.
And where would you go in town to get one of those?
I would ask Jeff to make it for me.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That sounds perfect. For those of you listening out there, that would be Jeff King, our Pete. Piazzolo.
No.
The person who makes pizzas. It's like a
pizzaiolo.
Pizzaiolo. All right. Well, Jill, as always, talking to you is a delight and a romp through food and places. And those of you out there, thank you for listening to this episode of What Are You Hungry For? Be sure to check out A to Z Cooking School.org for more information about our classes and programs. Stay fresh, everybody.